Isn't truth great? Isn't truth great? And we've said it before. Pastor Stan said it last week. Truth is, what is it? Fake news is just news you don't agree with, apparently, these days. And we're in this new era of anyone can say anything at any time with apparently very little to no consequence, except, of course, there always is consequence. And it doesn't matter if you're a keyboard warrior sitting behind your keyboard or not, there is consequence to your actions, because every time you speak an untruth into your heart, either every time you type it, it's going into your mind and it's changing how you think and it's changing how you behave and it's changing how you relate to the community around you. Truth matters, and we all know that. And I feel like it's one of those things that I should just be able to say and everyone goes, yes, it does. Except I live in a world where no, it doesn't. Because the world that we live in is one of those ones that says truth is relative. Your truth, my truth. But we speak about the truth, the life, the way, the truth. You can't have a way to life without the truth. So the truth really, really matters. And we look at it and we think we are in the worst generation ever because of the internet. And that's a lie. Because this is just human behavior. Wherever there is humanity and minds that want to be independent of a deity that actually looks after us, created us and predestined us and destined us, wherever there is a rebellious heart, there is a way of changing truth so that it suits you. So in John chapter 18, when Jesus stands before Pilate and Pilate says, what is truth? A moment, there's a penny, that's like a mic drop moment. We're going to get there in a minute where Jesus answers that question, of course, with another question, because that's what Jesus does. We want there to be a left and a right, and Jesus says there's a middle. We want there to be a right and a wrong, a black and a blue, whatever it is, whatever side of politics you're on. I've always found politics the weirdest thing, because people stand up and go, I agree completely with that guy, except you know that you don't. That's the guy you voted for, but you voted for an idea. And as you know, ideas are little seeds and they spread out. And you ever been caught in that moment where you started walking with someone and you absolutely believed their initial thought, their initial statement, and then somewhere down the track in the relationship, you realize that it's broadened a little and now they've got you into some other stuff. And my friends, that's called a pyramid scheme. Please don't sell me anything after the service. But this is the idea of the pyramid scheme that we all rag on and go, oh, you'd be a sucker to get involved in one of those. That's exactly how thought works. Thought is this pyramid scheme that someone just adds to and 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 adds to, and you realize in the end that you've come away from the central point and you've added a whole bunch of stuff. And that's why Jesus came to say, I didn't come to strike the law out, but to complete it, because what you guys have done is added a whole bunch of laws around your laws, laws that keep your laws safe and laws upon laws upon laws, because you have stopped using common sense, you've stopped using truth as your anchor, and you've started to justify a whole lot of behavior. He did this, of course, the famous one where they come to Jesus and ask about divorce, and he says, you know, well, this is what Moses said, and this is what I say. How many times did Jesus answer, this is what that guy said, and this is what that guy said, but this is what I say? And here's what we need to know about Jesus. Jesus acts, responds, and speaks on behalf of the Father. And John, in the chapters of John, through 12 through 18, you see this incredible moment or moments where John has been so close to Jesus that he's been able to express everything or a lot more than the other guys wrote down. And so often through these scriptures, you'll hear Jesus say, I am the way. I am the truth. If you have known me, you know the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. If you have understood me, you have understood the Father. And so when we stand as a Christian community and proclaim Jesus, we are proclaiming the essence of our Creator. If we know Jesus, we know the Father. If we know the Son, we know the Father. And if we know the Son, we have the Holy Spirit that comes alongside. And John introduces all of that in these few chapters. You ever gone to a dinner party and you walk to the table and you sit down and you think, I don't know what all this stuff is for? Anyone ever done that? Anyone gone to a high tea and you sit down and you think, I've got 17 knives, a dessert fork, I've got different cups. Anyone get nervous when they sit down at a table that they don't understand? I've got a bunch of Middle Eastern friends, and I went to their table, and their table was not even this high. It was a lot lower, and the couch was a lot lower. And then I've been to my Sri Lankan friends, where they get the plate, put everything on it, and then take their hand. And my Sri Lankan friend swears to me that it's scientifically provable that food tastes better if you mix it with your hand. I don't think so. I think his mum told him that. But they mix with a hand and eat with one hand. And my Sri Lankan friend even taught me, where are my any Sri Lankans in the house? Anyone that eats with a hand? And he told me you scoop and you push. Yep, there we go, Sri Lankan brother. And is this right? And you push the food off with your thumb, yeah? And in your mouth, right? And then you slap a high five with your friend. That's the Aussie. When you walk into sit down with others and the table makes no sense to you, what do? You wait for somebody else to do something. Because otherwise, you're going to make a fool of yourself. Jesus brings us to the table and says, watch me, learn from me, absorb what I do and understand it in the fullness of who I am. So all these cups, doesn't matter. Just look at the cup that I'm going to tell you about. All these processes. And so we look at the scripture and we look at the church and we think, I don't understand and I've got so many questions. And this is the essence of the whole conversation that we're having this morning. Come to the table and spend some time with Jesus. That's it. Spend some time with Jesus. There's a great moment in 1 Peter where he says this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, therefore, rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, all envy, all slander, like newborn infants, desire pure milk of the word so that you may grow up into your salvation if you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you have tasted that the Lord is good, then you will speak of that taste. It will come out of you. You will speak that truth out. John 12:37 harkens back to Isaiah 6, and it references this incredible moment of clarity that Isaiah had, where he was called into the mission. What we just read from Peter's letter is a moment of clarity that happened for him after he'd been through some really dark places and denied Christ and done a whole lot of stuff. Peter had sat at the table with John sitting beside Jesus, with Judas at the same table, with the rest of the apostles, and he'd sat there and he'd watched a betrayal. And then he'd heard those words come out of his own mouth around the fireplace where he said, I don't even know this Jesus that you speak of. And so when he writes his letter and he says, rid yourself of all of these things, why? Because he'd seen all of those things overtake people. He'd seen all of those things replace truth with deceit. He'd seen all of those things take people down a path that was destructive. And so he speaks with great clarity. And in Isaiah chapter 6, you see this. This is a very famous scripture. You guys know this one. When I heard the voice of the Lord asking me, who should I send? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. Which is like the right answer, right? If you ask that in Sunday school, if you're supposed to say, here I am, send me. Except, do you realize how big a call that actually is? Because this is the follow-on. The very next verse says this. And he replied, that is, God replied, go. And in my Bible, there's an exclamation point there, go. And for most of us, it's like, yes, go. Then it says this, say to these people, keep listening but do not understand. Keep looking but do not perceive. Make the minds of these people dull, deafen their ears and blind their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their minds and turn back and be healed. Whew. Go into the mission field and no one will understand what you're on about. In fact, their truth is so locked and loaded that you won't be able to get past it. So we stand here and we talk about the sacrifice of Jesus and we wonder why it had to be made, and it's simple. Our hearts are hard. We take a lot of convincing. We take a lot of convincing. John 12:37. Even though he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe him. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet, who said, Lord, who has believed our message? Verse 40 of John chapter 12 quotes that Isaiah scripture. He has blinded their eyes. He has hardened their hearts so that they would not see with their eyes or understand with their hearts and turn and I would heal them. The miracles seem to make no difference. You ever stopped and thought about that? The miracles that they had seen made no difference to changing their minds or their hearts. And the other thing that strikes me about the gospel is the sorrow gained no sympathy. Tim Keller puts it this way. He says, Christianity is both dirge and dance. And what he says is that it doesn't matter how much of a dirge we talk about, this thing that we need to be saved from and stay in that place, that, woe is me kind of thing. It doesn't matter how much we celebrate, people will say, you're just over the top and being foolish. Christianity is both sides of the human experience. In fact, it's the whole gamut. However you describe sorrow to dancing, Jesus is there for the whole lot of it. The miracles made no difference and the sorrow gained no sympathy. And it's really, really simple to understand why, because in verse 43 of John chapter 12, it says, for they loved human praise more than praise from God. They loved human praise more than praise from God. Surely that's the issue. So I walk into the table and I think I really should just figure out who the cool kid is and do what the cool kid does. I really should just figure out how I get accepted. And Jesus says, No, just sit down. Just come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, come follow me so many times. That's exactly why we have all of these testimonies. So we have to teach ourselves again to come follow him. And that's an everyday process and an every moment decision. To find a way is to notice truth. To find your way, you've got to notice truth. This is what I love about these few chapters that John has. John takes 8 chapters to describe just a few hours. Because Peter's over there. And he's troubled in his heart because he knows what's coming. Because he was the one that said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, he's that guy. He knows what's going on. He knows what's coming and potentially understood the prophetic word. And Jesus has already told him he's going to die. And there's a whole lot of things. He's dropping truth bombs everywhere here and the people are trying to conceive it. And there's Judas over here whose heart is already, you know, turned wicked and his heart is already sort of turning towards, I'm going to find a place to betray this guy. And guess where John is? I'm trying to figure out where Jesus would be. I can't be Jesus. If this was Jesus, then John would be like, right here. John's leaning in. John's listening to everything. He's noticing a ton of truth. And he's ready to try at least to understand it. And these next few chapters, we go from the Last Supper to Jesus' last breath, and John is there for all of it. And if you would go on this journey from the Last Supper to Jesus' last breath, then I feel like we could understand a few principles that are going to help us anchor truth in our hearts and come follow him. So here we go, just a few thoughts from these scriptures. Again, we've got Peter who says, get rid of all malice and all doubt and all of those kinds of things. By the by, the other part that I love about that scripture is in verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If there's one thing we need, it's to feel connected. It's to feel loved and forgive me, but to feel owned, is that the right? There's probably a better word for that. But Peter's going, we are his possession, which means you are held, which means you are anchored. You are his possession. This whole storyline is about you. So Jesus coming and walking this road, when he sat there at the supper table and he broke the bread and he shared the wine and he told them what was going on. You know, the one who heard what was going to happen with Judas was John. He's the one that writes that down. Jesus leans over and says, it's the one that puts his hand in the bowl with me. That's the one that's going to betray me. John was so close that he heard the whispers of Jesus. I love that picture, to be so close that you would hear the whispers of your Savior. In verse 44 of chapter 12, it says, the one who believes in me, this is Jesus speaking, the one who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. The one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. What did Peter say? That are drawn out of darkness into his glorious light. John's sitting there with this moment of revelation. John's whole gospel starts with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word was the light of life. And the darkness has come but has not overwhelmed it. John had this full understanding of the light of salvation, of who Jesus was. And he speaks to that right here because he heard Jesus say it and he witnessed Jesus do it. We go through and we see that then Jesus washes the disciples' feet and then he predicts that Judas is going to betray him, and then he gives this new commandment that you would love one another as I have loved you, and then he predicts that Peter would deny him. I mean, these are just truth bombs all over the place. Jesus was so secure in his calling that he was able to call out others. He's sitting at the table and saying, that guy's going to betray me, and Peter, you're going to deny me, and John, do you know what? All of you are going to desert me, because this next part, only I can do. This next part, this walk towards the cross, only he could do. And if nothing else, hold on to that he did that because only he could do that so that you could live in this freedom. That's what the cross is all about. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. This phrase is repeated over and over again throughout these chapters. Then he talks about how to pray in his name. He says, truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And then in verse 15 of chapter 14, he promises another counselor. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor who will be with you forever. He talks about the triune nature of God, that he is a representative of the Father. He talks about his gift of peace. In John chapter 15, he talks about the vine and the branches, that if you stay connected to me, that you will grow, that you will be planted in me, for I am the vine and you are the branches, so stay connected. And then he talks about having love that is like his, and he says in verse 13, these incredibly famous words that we have used to honor those that have sacrificed for us right throughout history. We've taken them directly from Scripture. John chapter 15 and verse 13 says, no one has greater love for you than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, and if you do what I command, I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you, love one another. Love one another. The amount of red letters in John's gospel says to me that he sat so close to Jesus and it impacted his heart so much that when he walked away from this table, he had absorbed what Jesus was about. He had absorbed what the gospel was about. He had absorbed what he would do in the next room he walked into. Because what you learn at this table impacts what you do in every other room thereafter. What you learn at this table about the forgiveness of your sin, about the sacrifice of a Savior, about the fact that you are not just a servant, but you are his friend. That means you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Amen. Do you understand that what Jesus did was sat beside friends and enemies and said, I didn't come to judge, I came to save. I came to heal. I came to make whole. And you know what? These people have watched the miracles, but they made no difference. And they've seen the sorrow, but it changed nothing in their heart, because the only thing that's going to break through and bring truth to the lie that is governing this humanity, that is holding it captive to its own stupidity, is a sacrifice that no one could understand unless they stopped and took notice and found a way to truth. And Jesus did something that only he could do that you could not unnotice. There's... I just love this picture of John being able to sit with Jesus and just being able to lean in. I don't really want to be at the Last Supper because I know what happens next. But part of me wishes I was there so I could just lean in and just, like, what did Jesus' voice sound like? And physically, how did he, did he speak with his hands like all good people should? How did he drink his soup? Was he a slurper or a? But here's the thing, don't get bogged down in that detail. Because Jesus, we don't have the book of Jesus. We don't have the CD and DVD collection that he created for us. Because if we did, we'd just worship the thing instead of the person. And so we have these faithful testimonies that his apostles wrote down for us that make a huge difference to us. Jesus prays for himself in John chapter 17, one of the most powerful prayers you've ever read in your life, and that's the prayer that the church exists under right now. He prays for himself, and then he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for all of those who are to come. And then he goes out, and we go through this whole process. And if you've ever looked at the crucifixion, the way of the cross, you've understood that Peter denies him, and there's a whole lot of activity going on. But I just want to focus on a couple of moments where a bunch of illegal and irrational things have happened. And Jesus stands there knowing that only he can do this, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm sorry, but if you sit at a table and you say, I am the way and the truth and the life, you should probably follow through. Do you understand that John and Peter and James and Bartholomew, all of these guys, they're sitting at a table with the way, the truth, and the life? The Word personified. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus is sitting right there. They've got the Word of God in person sitting there, and he is saying, I'm the way and the truth and the life. In other words, if you can follow me from this Last Supper to my last breath on a cross, you will understand a way that could change the way you understand who you are and what this whole story is about. It says this in John 18, 33. It says, then Pilate went back into the headquarters, summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? What happens when you ask Jesus a question? He asks you a question. Jesus answered, are you asking this on your own or have others told you about me? I'm not a Jew, am I? Pilate replied. Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done? What have you done? You think there's an answer to that? There's not. This is how Jesus answers that. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I wouldn't be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Are you a king then? Pilate asked. You say that I'm a king. I'm sorry, that's funny. Are you a king? Well, you say that I'm a king. I was born for this. I have come into this, into the world for this, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate famously answers, what is truth? I was born for this. I have come into the world for this, to testify to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Well, what is truth? Almost sarcastically. Because when your power is challenged, your pride kicks in. If your authority is challenged, your natural reaction is to let your pride kick in and protect your turf. And that's what's happening with Pilate. What do you think truth is? I'm just governing here. I'm just trying to keep the peace. I just don't want the Jews to riot. I don't want anything to go wrong. I just want to be in charge. Whatever truth needs to be right now, I'll make it that. And then a bunch of illegal and irrational things happen and Barabbas is released instead of Jesus. What is truth? And then Jesus is flogged and mocked. What is truth? And then Pilate sentences Jesus to death. What is truth? And if you notice the notice that they put on the cross, it says, Jesus, King of the Jews. But there's a moment, and I want to leave us with this. There's a moment which messes me up every single time. John 19:25. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, and the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, Jesus has been beaten. He's hanging on a cross. He is going to die. And his mother is looking at her son. How is she even there? How is she getting to see him through the tears that would have been in her eyes? The anguish in her heart. The woman that had started his ministry way back at Cana, when he said, "Woman, it's not yet my time," and she turned to the guests at the wedding party and said, "Just do what he says." The woman who had started his ministry, who had almost, you know, given the command, "Okay, go," but they're not going to understand you. And straight away, the water to wine miracles just is one of these amazing things that turns the party great and turns the religious leaders against him. And that wine at the table, and now this blood on the cross. And I, if I could put myself in that spot, you know, is Mary sitting there thinking, why did we go through with this? Jesus said, only I can do this. I was born to do this. Mary standing there at the foot of the cross, watching her own son. John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who hours earlier had been leaning in and learning from the way, the truth, and the life, is at the foot of the cross too. And this is where you and I are asked to come to the foot of the cross and lay down our burden. I can't imagine a better picture of laying down your burden than standing there as Jesus' best friend and Jesus' mother going, "I still trust. I still trust." When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." With one of his last cries from the cross, he unified a new family and started a new movement that continues to this day. Through the bitterness of the tears, through the anguish of the heart, through the darkness of the soul, he says, "I'm going to meet you right there." He stands in front of Pilate and says, "Only I can do this." And friends, we stand here today worshiping, singing these songs, reading these scriptures because hundreds and thousands and millions have gone before us and understood that, and the truth has set them free. So I want to ask you, friends, have you come to the foot of the cross? Have you allowed your heart to be understood by his words? Only I can do this. In noticing the truth, we find the way. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for these words, and I thank you for these moments that we've had together. And Lord, I pray that whatever is needed to catch us where we are, Lord, I pray that you would catch us where we are. I pray that you would speak truth to our lives. I pray that we would understand the words of Peter, that we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, that we've been called out of darkness into your glorious light. Lord, that we would understand that many are called, but few are chosen. We would understand that you have the words of eternal life. We would understand that when we see you, we see the Father. When we hear you, we hear the Father. So Lord, speak to us today through the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak to us and leave that impression on our hearts. Friends, if there's anyone in the room this morning that has never taken a moment to ask Jesus to be the Lord of their lives, to give your heart to him, to allow the truth to lead you, if you've never said a prayer that gives your heart to Christ and allows him to lead you, I just want you to do something really simple. If you just raise your hands, we just want to pray with you. Anyone online, if you need that prayer, then click the prayer button. One of our team would love to pray with you. Is there anyone in the room or online that wants us to pray with them this morning? And then afterwards, all we want to do is talk about the things of God with you and try and inspire you and encourage you to live your life with him. Then, Father God, we commit ourselves once more to you, to the way of the cross, to the way of truth that brings life. Lord, help us be those that carry the truth and bring life to others. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's worship together.